keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, 'cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking, but if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
For tuning in. Thanks for our audience being here as well. Thanks for being in the theater. And if you're watching at home, thanks for joining us in a brand new series we're kicking off today called Been There, Done That. Now, if you go, well, what is this series going to be about? Well, it is all about those things in your life that you go, man, I've been there and I've done that. And today is one that I can definitely relate to. So here's the first question right out of the box. You ready? What area of life are you trying to control? Do not touch your spouse right now. Look forward, all right? Because we all know sometimes it is relationships and then other times it's career, finances, there's a lot. But for us, the reason that I want to kind of kick it off today with this is because Easter is a big day for us. And this is just one of those examples that we really did try to control things. For example, the reason that I wear black is I wanted to control how fat I look on this big screen, all right? Because you know this, it's true. We look at our appearance, and that's why we dress our kids up on Easter. We dress up because we want to control that. And here's a cute picture just to remind you of what that looks like. Awesome time out there, you know, having fun, picking up eggs and everything. But why are we controlling every aspect? Because we want people to think, okay, man, that's cool. They did good. You know, they look good. They got their life in control. And if it's not your appearance, it's also the schedule. For example, last week when it comes to Easter, you're going to the early service or the late service, you're calling your family and your friends and going, we got to go to the early because we got to go to grandma's. Why? We're controlling the schedule. And then it comes back, are we eating early or are we eating late? For the first time in, I can't even remember how long, we actually ate Easter dinner because we had our guest in town and we were trying to control every aspect of that, getting everybody to the airport and making sure everything goes straight. And I thought so much about this. There's one thing that I wanted to control once I got to dinner at Mimi's, and that was the ham, son. I controlled that ham right there, I can tell you, all right? Because Honey Baked hooked us up, they took care of us, but I was like, don't y'all eat all that ham. You know, like, wait for me to get there, because whether it's at the table, the clothes we wear, whatever is going on, we all have an issue with control, if we're honest. For some of you, it might have been your kids. Are they getting ice cream before the service or after the service? Are you going to do the egg hunt before the service or after the service? In the room, it was the band and the media. We tried to control every aspect from the way we come into songs and the videos behind and all of those things, including even our social media. We try to put out there like, hey, we got it together. And occasionally, we lose control and we don't have it together. Like this picture right here. This was this past Christmas. We were out there having a do-good day. And look at Scott in the back, by the way, right there. All right. That was not intentional. You do not want your guy scrolling on social media while you're, you know, doing Operation Christmas Child boxes. And we missed it and we kind of laughed. We're like, well, I guess we kind of missed that one. Well, it happened also this past Easter whenever we were trying to cue up the last song in the last service and we missed a cue. It just didn't work right. And in the process, something happens when you lose control. For example, this is the phrase I'll put on the screen for you. When you can't control it, whatever it is, frustration will follow. Here's the proof with my boy Chip, who does a great job managing everything, but that's the way it looks, all right? Have you ever been there? When you've worked hard, you've prepared, you got everything exactly the way you think it should go, and something goes wrong and it's beyond your control, it frustrates you. I can relate to that, Chip, because it doesn't matter if it's the sermon, the message, the outfit you're wearing, the food you're eating, whatever it is, it's frustrating when it doesn't go your way. Beyond Easter, I can think of a couple of things. You've been saving some money, you know, and you're trying to put it aside to get ready to do something special, and then a car breaks. Beyond your control, and all of a sudden, all the extra money you had, it's gone. Or maybe it's people or people's opinions. People post on Facebook or whatever, and you can't control what they're doing. It can just be very frustrating. So this is why today, this message, I think will apply to every one of us. And this is a phrase and a statement I want you to remember as we begin. Whatever you attempt to control the most, more often than not, reveals where you trust God the least. So just think about that for a minute. Is it kids? Is it money? Is it your health? Is it the future? Are you afraid of losing control? And so then when we get afraid of losing control, we try harder to grab a hold of it. And then when it comes to this whole Easter thing, I've ran across a scripture last week that we were talking about, but then I read a little more that kind of led me into where we're going today. Because we're not the only ones who struggle with control. And in the Easter story, this often gets overlooked, but I thought, hey, we're a little past Easter, but let's go back and reflect and look at this moment because it is a great example of control. Matthew 26, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. You've heard of this. He's in the garden. And he says to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, Jesus had a lot on his mind. He pulled his boys together. He said, hey, I want y'all to sit over here, have some time. I'm going to go meet with Dad because I know what's coming. He knew the next day was going to be the cross. Now, not the cross that you grew up with or I grew up with, the one that has a pretty picture of a cross. And these are examples that everybody's like, oh, you know, it's the cross. I remember. As I showed you last week, no, Jesus knew how brutal, how bloody, how horrific this was going to be. And because he was struggling with this moment, he said, I need to pray. I need to pull away and I need to talk to Dad about this. So then you'll see, it continues. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and he began to feel sorrowful and troubled. Why? He knew what was ahead. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Man, this guy is worried to death. He is burdened to death. So then he looks at him, stay here and keep watch with me. Hey, everybody stay alert. So I'm going to go a little further. And he fell on his face and he began to pray. He said, Father, if it is possible, if I could control this, God, can this cup be taken from me? But not what I want, God, what you want. But here is the first example of him going, you know what? Can I control this circumstance? Can I control this situation? Because he knew how brutal, how ugly it was about to get. So then he comes back, all right? And guess what he finds his boys doing? Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Now, why would I bring this up? It's because this is a beautiful example of Jesus struggling to control the situation and his friends. He's the Son of God. He is in control. He knows what is going on. He knows the plan. But is it wrong to ask, like, hey, is there any other way? Because you and I can relate to that. I think the reason that story and that example is in Scripture is because it's a reminder to all of us. You're going to struggle wanting control. You're going to struggle wanting to control people at times and circumstances and situations. And here is Jesus navigating this and revealing an insight that many of us hopefully can relate to when it comes to our personal circumstances and situations. Now, what I did not realize, and I've studied it, but I've never really remembered this. I guess I get overlooked. Is Jesus goes back again to talk to God. He says, Jesus came back. Look at it in 42, verse 42. He went away a second time and he prayed again. After he found the boy sleeping, he withdraws and he goes again. He's like, hey, God, I'm just asking again, is it not possible for this cup to be taken away? But nevertheless, not what I want, God, what you want. There is a valuable lesson in this for all of us. If it's your career, if it's your kids, if it's the future, think of all these things that you're trying to control. Jesus gave us the greatest example when he ultimately gave up control because he trusted God. He knew that his dad, the Father, knew better than he did, and he knew it was the way, but he was asking, I can't control it, I can't fix it, but I am asking you, God, is there any other way? Because I'll do ultimately, though, what you want me to do. See, when culture talks to us about when life gets tough, when you know it's not going to go well, what do they say? Take control of it. You just got to make it happen, bro. You got to control your own destiny. This is your chance to shine. And here's Jesus going, wait a second, is that really true? Can you control your own destiny? Are you just going to grab a hold and make it things happen? Well, here's what I'm learning. When I look back at Easter, when I look at my personal life, I look at all these circumstances, situations, I know this to be true. You don't always have the power to control, but the one thing you have the power to do is surrender. One example, my dog right now, this is kind of silly, all right, but my dog, the one that is the love of our life, he's the Cosmo, that's his name, and we think he's got cancer now. It looks like he's diagnosed, I mean, his lymph nodes are swelling and all these things are going on, and this may sound silly to y'all, but in my world, I'm like trying to control how he passes away. I am nervous, worried about it. So I'm calling vets. I'm trying to figure out when we're going on trips, and I don't want it to happen when we're gone. And what do we do? And as silly as that sounds, I'm like going, even in the smallest thing like your pet, you're still trying to control the way that it shakes itself out. I can go to the more important things like my kids, and I look at college, and I look at how, do we have enough money, and Angie's been working like crazy trying to get Ian. He's going off to Orlando for some movie school stuff, and she's down there working everything. And so often I'll go in there and she's got her head in her hands because it's out of control. And she's like, well, I've sent it and I don't know what's going on. And if any college student in here, you know your FAFSA has been crazy because they're trying to get all this stuff going on and it got hung up and they don't have the money. And next thing you know, you're going, all right, God, what is going on? And yet here we are battling for control. And then we have this tendency to think that we can fix it. We just got to, let's go. We're going to work harder. Where I'm learning, all right, God, I can't control it. I surrender Cosmo to you. I surrender my kids to you. I surrender the church to you. I surrender this service to you. I surrender my life to you. Now that sounds easy, but it's very difficult to do because by nature, we want to make things happen. So then we start going through, is it God's will or is it your will? For example, have you ever prayed something like this? God, don't make me a missionary to Africa. I'll do anything you want me to do, but don't send me over there. Or even more relatable is if you're single in here, like, God, do not make me stay single my whole life, all right? Please, God, find somebody for me. And the question of the day around all of these issues of control is this, is what are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? Because the truth is, and it is difficult, it's challenging, it's hard, is to be able to go, God, I give it all to you. Now, I like to call it the Burger King gospel. And you go, what do you mean the Burger King gospel? Because in our culture in America, we kind of have this slogan of like, I'm just going to do it my way. And Burger King was the best at it. You may remember these slogans like, right, have it your way. And if you didn't grow up eating Burger King, my brother, by the way, loved Burger King, all right? So we ate there a lot. But if you didn't grow up with it, you've probably at least seen the commercial. Listen close how this commercial ends. 30 seconds just to get you in the mood for lunch, all right? Roll it.
Whopper, 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 Junior, Double, Triple, Whopper, Impossible, or Bacon, Whopper, I rule this day. And BK, have it your way.
You rule! You rule! You lie! Isn't it crazy, though? Like, even our American culture saying, hey, when you come in, you have it your way. You control everything from the way you eat, when you eat, how you eat. You make it how you want it. And it's just one minor example. When the truth is, you don't rule. Matthew 16, look at this. Jesus says to the disciples, if you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. So it's the very opposite of what we do in America. You do your thing, man. You figure it out. We even teach it. You can do anything. Y'all can accomplish anything, which is all true. But then we also get it mixed up because we think that we actually can control what we do. But look how it ends. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus knew, hey, if you really want to live, if you really want to experience it, it's going to be about sacrifice and surrender. And neither one of us like that. Don't matter who you are. This is the truth. Jesus doesn't offer us control. He offers you an ability, an opportunity to go, here's my chance to sacrifice. Here's my chance to surrender, whether that's your marriage, your kids, your health, your finances, even your future. And when we're teaching our kids things, this is why I talked about last week at Easter, is like, remember, God loves you. You can trust him. And then we should do what he asks you to do. The three simple truths is, man, God loves you. Because he loves you, trust him. But when you're obedient, man, things change. It's not always easy. It is a sacrifice. It is about surrender. Now, to be clear, we have a choice in this, and you have a role to play. And so you have to ask yourself these questions. What is my part versus what is God's part? And you go, well, what do you mean by that? For example, you want to control your spouse. You want to control the circumstances or situations in that. And you realize real quick you can't control your spouse. And all the people said, amen, right? Amen. You know, you can't control them. But let me tell you what you can do. You can load the dishwasher. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Somebody, amen. Now, why do I say that? I am a great example of this yesterday. Every birthday, we cook beef tips. We have a fryer that we fry these beef tips in for birthdays. The last birthday was in February. So from February until now, don't even judge me. I need a judgment-free zone, all right? We have not cleaned that grill, that little fryer. I'm out by my grill, and I see it out there yesterday, and I'm like, Angie, we left this out here. We haven't cleaned this. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to get her to clean it, right? But then in the process, God's like, hey, dummy, you know what you're preaching on tomorrow? Grab the fryer and clean it. So I pick it up and I come inside and I clean it. And she's like, oh, you're so sweet. I'm like, oh, I'm a godly man. I mean, what else can you ask for? I mean, and in my mind, I'm like going, why did you leave it out here? But this is one example of control. You can't tell them things. You got to go, God, all right, help me to surrender. Help me to sacrifice. I can't change him or her, but I can serve them. I can sacrifice. I can surrender. I'll give you another one. Someone's battling health issue or sickness. You can't heal them. I mean, you want to try, but the truth is it's kind of out of our hands. But the one thing you can do is go visit in the hospital. You can serve them. You can sacrifice a little time and go see them or take care of them in that way. As I tell my kids right now, they can't control their future. They're worried about what the future looks like, and is it this career and that career and this spouse, or how are you going to do all that? I'm like, listen, but what you can do is trust God with your future. That may apply to you today. You walked in here going, man, I got control issues. I'm trying to control this or that, and you can't. And if there's any advice that I'd give you, and I'm not an expert, I've not gotten it right, I am working on it. It is this, Proverbs, trust in the Lord with, what is that phrase underlined right there? All your heart. See, this is where it's tough. There is no such thing as a partial surrender. You go, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I went to school, believe it or not. It took me 10 years to get out of college. I joke about it a lot, but it's the truth. And you go, well, why did it take you so long? Well, because I couldn't figure out the grading scale. I'm putting it on the screen for you right there. I was always just trying to get by. Don't judge me, but I was like, oh, let me just try to get by this because I didn't love school. But the one thing you figure out real quick is that there is no partial surrender, just like there's no partial credit. People say, well, I gave you a little bit of credit on that. Well, that didn't add up enough to get me by. When you're trying to manage that, you have to get to the point where you go, I need to give it all I have. I need to surrender all, or I need to work hard at it. It's this idea of just kind of, well, it's partial surrender. I'm kind of going to just give up. When the truth is God is calling us to a total surrender to him. And when you do, I surrender all, I give you all of my heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust him with everything you have. This is what Proverbs continues to tell you. Submit all your ways to him. Not part of it. Not just try to get a C. Don't try to get a D. Listen, there's no partial surrender. There's no partial credit. Give him everything. And when you do, there's a promise attached, man. He will guide you through it. So if you're trying to teach your kids something, if you're a young person and you're trying to learn, or you're struggling right now in a marriage or finances, you go, what are you trying to control? What are you trying to hold on to? And for me, I have to really look at it, whether it's my kids, as silly as it is, my dog, the church, the future, everything. I'm like, all right, God, I surrender it to you. Now, again, I ask you a silly question. Why should you surrender control? If you're sitting there, you're going, all right, Justin, I hear you, but why should I do this? Well, Proverbs gives us another great reminder. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you, and he will crown your efforts with success. This is why. When you decide to surrender, when you decide to sacrifice, not try to control it, you go, all right, God, I can see that you're going to guide me. You're going to direct me. You're going to help me get success when I cannot get it on my own. Now, just as a reminder, if you go back to the garden, Jesus could have taken control in that garden. Y'all know this. He could have called down angels and wiped everybody out and chose a different path. But he didn't. He surrendered to God's will. And as a result, it changed the world. It's why we're here today. It changed everything. Now, if you also want another example, there was another guy by the name of Peter in the garden. He did not surrender control. And you go, well, what do you mean? Well, it didn't go so well. Maybe you remember this in John chapter 18 where Peter drew a sword and slashed a guy's ear off. Do y'all remember that? Why? Because he wanted control. Jesus was trying to tell them, you got to surrender control. You got to let go of that and let God lead you and trust him with that. And Peter's like, no, man, I'm taking him out. And it got messy. It got bloody, And the only way that it can be fixed is, guess who and guess how? By Jesus himself. Jesus said very sternly, man, no more of this, man. No more of taking control, Peter. No more of this. He grabbed the man's ear, put it back on his head, and healed him. Now you go, well, Justin, why is that so significant? It's because if you're like me, I have made some messy circumstances in my life. I have grabbed for control. I've wanted control. I've tried to have my own way. And in the process, I've messed it up. I've hurt people. I've harmed circumstances and situations. And Jesus is coming in going, man, just surrender. Just let me have my way and trust me. Because when you follow Jesus, what you're saying is, I'm giving you control. Now, that's not easy. And a lot of people struggle with that. And you go, well, control of what, Justin? Everything. This is what makes Christianity such a challenge, why it makes it so difficult, is we want to control things. And he's like, man, you can't do it. And this is a beautiful example. You know, it's hard to believe that I can find a Steve Hartman video every week, but this is, it may be the only week. This may be my last week, but here's one more. And it's probably the most beautiful example of what I'm talking about today. And it's in a modern context. And believe it or not, a teenager is going to teach you the lesson. If you think surrender is not powerful, if you're just like, I just don't really believe in it, watch what happens with this teenager. It's pretty awesome. Check it out.
Get a piece of him.
As a state champion wrestler, Merrick Bush has very few real competitors. But the sophomore from Central Valley Academy near Utica, New York, does have at least one rival, a junior from Indian River named Logan Patterson. Merrick met him on the mat earlier this month.
I practiced hard that entire week, and I wanted to beat him.
Terry Kavanaugh was the referee.
Been in sports a long time, and I've never seen anything like it.
As expected, it was a great match. Until, with just about 30 seconds left, Logan twisted his elbow.
No, oh my God.
Up to that point, Merrick had been losing. But Logan's arm was now so badly injured, there was almost no way Merrick couldn't win. So he told his coach, I got this, and went back in to do what he says he had to do.
That's Merrick in the blue. Again, all he had to do was stand up and pin his hobbled opponent. But instead, Merrick did nothing. He just told Logan he was sorry about his arm and surrendered. Logan couldn't believe it.
He just sat there. He didn't move. You think it was goodness out of his heart. He's a great person. I know it makes me look kind of like a weakling, but...
No.
It's all right.
No, it doesn't.
No, he's no weakling at all. I mean, state championships come and go, but that, you can't take that away from a kid.
The crowd watched on their feet and through blurry eyes as Merrick lost the tournament but won the admiration of everyone in the gym. Most especially.
Proud. Yeah.
His dad.
Yep.
Bob.
I'm very proud. It's not about winning all the time. It's about doing what's right. And he did.
More importantly, Merrick thought doing the right thing would make him look like a weakling. But he did it anyway. Now that's a powerful kid. Steve Hartman, on the road, near Utica, New York.
Come on, y'all, come on. I'm gonna put a scripture on the screen for you. This is Matthew 10. If you cling to your life, you're gonna lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Now, the reason I put that up there is because everybody in here, you see this story, and like that kid had a decision to make. This is what he wanted. This is what he's trained for. It's what he's prepared for. But he had a choice. He's like, no, man, it's not the right thing to do. He didn't know that by doing that, he'd be on national TV and he'd be in a pastor's sermon. But hey, here he is. Because it's a great example of what Christ calls us to. Now, we thought, just for fun, and I asked Greg to come back. We've never done this before. It's the first time we've done it since we've been in this environment, the new, you know, simple church here at the Boardwalk. But I thought, man, let's end with the song. But I wanted to test your knowledge. Anybody remember these books right here? If you've seen these books, what are those? Anybody know? It's a hymnal, y'all. All right, that just proves a simple church. Everybody's like, what's a hymnal? What's a hymnal? Well, when we grew up in church, didn't matter what church you grew up in, they had them in the front of your seat there, and they would ask you to pull them out. So right now, y'all, I put them in every theater. Go ahead, pull it out. No, I'm just kidding. It's not there. Don't look. But me and Greg were talking about it. I said, hey, man, let's come in and end with one that we ended with a lot. But the reason why is I want you to listen to it with different ears and listen to what the simplicity of this song says and the challenge for all of us. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Anybody remember it? You want one more verse?
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Sing it. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. Come on, give it up for Greg. Thank you, Wolf. We'll put this on the screen for you before you walk out of here. Hopefully the song speaks to you and you kind of wrap your head around it. And as we prepare to leave, just remember, we don't have the power to control anything. The only power we truly possess is like that young man taught us on the mat. And as that song teaches us, and that's to surrender. I surrender not a part of it, but everything, my future, my finances, my relationships, my health, my animals, whatever it is that you struggle trying to control, maybe it's your life. And remember, if you cling to it, you're going to lose it, man. But if you release it and surrender it, you will find true life. Would you pray with me? God, I struggle with it. You know that. And I have been there, and I have done that. But what I hope to accomplish in this message and through the series is we walk through and look at different issues, we recognize our weakness. We recognize where our problems are and go, God, that's me, and I'm asking you to forgive me, and I want a fresh start. I surrender my life to you. I surrender this issue. I surrender this circumstance. And when we do that, God, you promise to lead us, to guide us, to help us. Lord, we saw you struggle in the garden. You could have called down angels and wiped everybody out, but Lord, you could have done a lot of things. But what you chose to do was trust your Father. God, give us that same ability. Lord, we're all like Peter, man. We're the ones who want to take control. We're going to try to fix it. We're going to try to solve it. But once again, I thank you for your grace that you clean up our messes and you heal the hurt that we cause. Help us, Jesus, in this moment, through this series, through this circumstance, through this message, to be more like you. I say it again, Father, if there's someone that's never surrendered to you, I pray they would do something like this. Jesus, I've messed up, and I ask you to come into my life and change me. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a fresh start. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood. And now, God, let me surrender to you, the one who provides forgiveness, the one who provides hope and a new beginning. We know that is in you. When we pray that prayer, God, I know you'll come into our lives and you'll save us right where we sit. Help us not just to pray a one-time prayer, but on a daily basis, surrender all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen out there somewhere? Come on, y'all.